Signs and spiritual gifts were commonplace occurrence in the early church. I want to see the body of Christ be like that early church and walk in that power today. We need that power today, people. The church desperately needs the power of the Holy Spirit. And we should not be ashamed, nor should we be afraid to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit today. But sadly to say, maybe some of the reason there isn't a move of God the way there should be is because too many have gotten cold in their hearts according to the Word of God. And they're ashamed to speak forth and to have the faith to do what God has called us to do, to lay hands on the sick, to raise the dead. Amen? And these same gifts that they had, the same ones, they're here for today also. Should we expect those spiritual gifts today? Should we expect them? Do you have that expectation in your daily walk with Jesus? Do you have that expectation that God is moving through the power of His Holy Spirit and many of those gifts are within you and I? Praise the Lord. See, a growing number of Christians responded yes to this question during the 20th century and up to the present time. The first half of the 20th century saw the emergence of many of today's large Pentecostal denominations with the associated manifestation of various gifts of the Holy Spirit. In the second half of the 20th century, the charismatic movement led millions more Christians in non-Pentecostal denominations to embrace the present-day validity of these spiritual gifts. That's a lot. I know when my wife and I got saved, we actually attended a Catholic cathedral, and the nuns there were operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Man, they're excited about Jesus. They're laying hands on people, praying for them. They were speaking in tongues. They had interpretation, and my wife and I thought they were crazy as new Christians, but they were just doing according to what Scripture said. But I don't know about you, but it seems like that's kind of dissipated a lot in the last few years, several years. However, man's experience and our beliefs by themselves, they don't establish doctrine, do they? That's the only prerogative of the Bible to do that. So we're going to examine a number of scriptures and verses that support the ongoing validity of the gifts of the Spirit throughout the church age. And the first is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, and then verses 7 through 11. It says, now there are diversities of gifts by the same Spirit, but verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to the another the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Praise the Lord. That's for you and I, people. Praise God. See, the list of the spiritual gifts comprise what the Bible teachers commonly call the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. And in the order listed in the King James Bible, the first one, again, I'll just read them, is the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, the workings of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, divers kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. Those are gifts. Biblically knowledgeable Christians readily admit that these supernatural spiritual gifts occurred in the first century church as recorded in the New Testament. The question that is raised by some, are these spiritual gifts still occurring today? Are they still occurring today? You know something? I believe they are. We support one of these men that are walking in the gifting, Dr. Nichols. I just highlighted some of the things. He's walking in the, God gave him a word of knowledge. Spoke in tongues. He's doing the very thing that God has said in the Word, the early church. He's doing those things, and he's seeing the results over on the field when he's out there. People are being born again. They're being saved. They're being healed. They're being delivered, and people are being set free by the power of the Holy Spirit that is moving supernaturally through men and women of God that are standing upon the Word of God. Amen? That's exciting. I mean, multitude. I think this last one he sent me, he said 2,300 people came to Jesus over in India. 2,300. And God healed many of them and set them free. Praise the Lord. Whew. Mark chapter 16, 15, 18 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. In whose name? Jesus' name will cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. It did not say they'll recover. Said they shall recover, amen? Amen? And by the way, we don't bring snakes in here if you're visiting today. No. We're not one of those churches. I'm scared of snakes anyway. My faith wouldn't be recognized here. I'd be running out the back door. And it's on scriptural for doing that anyway, by the way. See, these verses along with the companion one in chapter, in fact, Bob just read that today too. I thought, wow, that's pretty good. Matthew chapter 28, or 18 and 20, known as the Great Commission. And these words of Jesus make it quite evident that the Great Commission is intended for the entire church age, stretching from Jesus' first coming to his second coming. Consider the following. Jesus commissioned the church to go ye into all the world with the gospel in verse 15 that I just read. And we still are in that process of fulfilling that command in the 21st century, aren't we? We're still doing that. Secondly, Jesus commissioned the church to preach the gospel to every creature. We're still in the process of fulfilling that in this century, aren't we? And those to be affected by the Great Commission are he that believeth, he that believes, verse 16. And that would encompass all believers in every century. He that believeth. Whosoever will, right? Supernatural signs, including speaking with tongues, cast out demons, and healing the sick, they were promised to accompany the Great Commission. Weren't they? I just read that to you. God promised that. That is the gospel that is preached. Every creature in all the world, to he that believes, throughout the church ages, to be accompanied by supernatural spiritual gifts of God. That's how you and I should be walking in the power of God. Maybe the world would respect this more. Instead of trying to be like them, that we would actually be people of the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Instead of trying to draw them in with worldly things, maybe we ought to draw them in by you and I getting our faith and our walk where we need to be to walk and to have the faith and to believe and to seek God's will, that his hand and his gifts manifest through you and I, through the power of his Holy Spirit, so that the world can see that this God is a mighty God and he is able. Mark 16, 20 says, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Man, that's what I'm asking God, I want to be one of those people. It's one thing to preach it. It's another thing to see God moving and confirming his word in you. But I think we've cooled down to a point where we don't have any expectation anymore. And we don't see those things happening. Matthew chapter 28, 19, 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe or to obey all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Did you hear that? Even unto the end of the world. He will never leave us nor forsake us, people. Praise the Lord. Matthew's record of the same Great Commission that we just looked at. Consistent with Mark's account, that we see that unto the end of the world, and we're to teach them to observe or to obey all things that Jesus commanded them, including his commands to heal the sick and to cast out devils. And it's vitally important that we Christians at the 21st century understand that Jesus intended the Great Commission to be pursued throughout the church age. As he originally established it, that is, with accompanying supernatural signs. Praise the Lord. Sadly, for too much of history, the church has been content to try to reach the world with the preached word only, thereby violating the Apostle Paul's great declaration, what he says in 1 Thessalonians 1:5, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and much assurance, as you know, what manner of men we were among you for your sake." Whew, with power. With power in the Holy Ghost. That's the word of God when we preach it with faith. And the Holy Spirit is moving supernaturally through his people. 1 Corinthians 1:7-8. So that ye come behind in no gift, lacking no gift. Waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing of words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." See, that's why we pray for people in a church similar to this, a Bible church where we believe the whole counsel of God's word, because I believe God is healing today. I've had loved ones who have died, and seemingly like God didn't talk. You know, when I get to heaven, I'm not blaming God for anybody that's died or didn't do this or didn't do that or whatever. I'm going to blame it on me or man all the time, because his word is true. It's true. He's not a respecter of people. He's not. He's not a respecter of generations. He loves his people. He loves each and every one of us, and that's why he's going to be with us till the very end, even of this age. Today, as then, it is vitally important that our preaching of, or our witnessing, I'll throw that in there too, of the gospel be accompanied with the demonstration of the Spirit of the power of God. You know, people, you ever go into Walmart, if you're standing around somebody and you hear something or you see something and there's a physical problem, I wonder sometimes if the Holy Spirit say to you, lay hands on them and pray for them right now. When I look at the book of Acts, the new church, boy, that church walked in power. They walked in power. And maybe we need to say, Lord, we're missing what you want to do in our life. We're missing what you want to do in that person's life right now by not obeying your word. And observing and watching and discerning and seeing how does the Holy Spirit guiding and leading us, that we can be used to touch other people's lives with the power of God. I tell you what, if we had somebody in here today in a casket right here and they raised from the dead, I tell you, we'd fill this church up pretty fast. We'd have to tear this wall out and that wall out and the front wall out here and the back wall and just remove the whole church actually and fill the parking lot. Because the power of God, the power of God is what the world needs today. We need the power of God. And the power of God is in you and I. It lives within you and I that are born again, blood-bought Christians that are saved by grace and the mercy of God, have the power of God living within us and desires to manifest through us as we walk out by faith. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. See, such demonstrations of Paul's ministry included healings and miracles along with other gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the principle still applies today, as it did back with him. That is, the faith of those we lead to Jesus Christ must not rest on the skill and wisdom of our words, but on the word of God confirmed with genuine manifestations of the Spirit of power of God. But sometimes we're too timid or reluctant to want to tell somebody what Jesus can heal you. If I say, well, I'm going to pray for you and believe God has healed you right now, even if it isn't a Christian, I'll lay hands on him and pray for him. Amen? And watch what God does. It isn't you that does the healing. And I always tell people that too. It's not me. I'm not going to heal, so don't look to me to get your healing. But the one that's going to heal, his name is Jesus Christ. And when you tell them that, it puts faith in them. Puts faith in them. John chapter 14, 11, 12. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. If my throat was better, I'd shout louder and jump higher. Because that's the word of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Amen. Now, I don't believe that we can do greater works than Jesus Christ can do. I believe the greater works is with all of us together, we can do a greater work. All of us. One mind, amen, one spirit, as God the Father and Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost, one, we as one, the body of Christ going forth out into this world, and we all like-minded faith going out and laying hands on people and leading people to Jesus, watch the power of God move and watch the true church stand up and move supernaturally. Jesus promised that believers, not just apostles, may do the works that he did and even greater because he's returned to the Father and given us his Spirit. Ministering your spiritual gifts is very much a part of the full gospel ministry. Amen? Amen? Christ's disciples in the early church did indeed do the works that he had done. They healed the sick, they raised the dead, they cleansed the lepers, they cast out devils, and much more. Much more. And the God that they serve back there is the same God that we serve here. Did you know that? The very same God that moved through them will move through us the same way. But note that Jesus promises not just to the disciples of that first generation. He said, but to he that believes in me. Did you hear that? But he that believes in me. If you have faith in Jesus, then in his name you can heal the sick and cast out demons. And people, there's some people in the world that got demons, whether they want to admit it or not. There might be more demon-possessed people than we even realize. It's all classified under psychological stuff, a lot of it today. But many times people have been dabbling in things they shouldn't have been dabbling in, and they need deliverance. Romans 11, 29, for the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. And the Greek word here for gifts is charisma, from which we derive our English word charismatic. And the Bible is assuring us that the charismatic gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, are never revoked or withdrawn. Never revoked or withdrawn. When once they have been given. In fact, the Bible encourages you to increase your spiritual gifts in Hebrews 2, 4. God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. And in James 1, 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Praise the Lord. I'm excited about the God we serve. I'm excited about Jesus. Did you hear that? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from God above. And cometh down from the Father of lights. Not from the Father of darkness, but from the Father of lights. God the Father does not change, including his giving of spiritual gifts. He's the same yesterday, today, yes, and tomorrow. Yes. He confirmed the preached gospel in the first century with signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit. And he who does not change confirms the same gospel in the 21st century with the same supernatural manifestations. That is the same God that moved through the disciples that moves today. People, I believe that we are missing out on so much what this loving God has for us in this world. If we're going to preach the gospel, the good news, number one, we ought to be living it. Number two, we ought to be preaching it naturally, and we need to be walking in it in the power of the Holy Spirit and sharing it with a dying world. And how many know the world's getting darker and darker? I'm not being pessimistic when I say that, by the way. I'm actually excited because Jesus Christ is coming. Our time may be very short up on this earth, but I believe that the rapture of the church is very, very close. Whether you believe it or not, that's your business. I personally believe it. Jesus Christ is coming, and I believe he's coming soon. And I don't know about those tears in heaven, but maybe some of those tears being wiped away in heaven is maybe because when we see him and see his love and his mercy and his grace and his kindness and his forgiveness, and we see it all wrapped up in his glory right there, and we're going to see what we missed out sharing in this earth. Amen. We're going to miss, and it's too late once the rapture happens. And we won't have any time to call up Uncle Bob or Auntie or our cousins or our grandfathers or our mothers, our fathers. It's all too late. Once the rapture's happened, it's too late. One time I asked a guy, I said, well, let me go to the hospital or to where your father's dying and pray for him. Said he didn't know Jesus. This man was in an Assembly of God church, a leader in it. And when I got there, he refused to allow me to go in and pray over his father, which was at the point of death. And his statement was that, I don't want to make my dad mad. I said, come on. You got to let me in. He says, I can't. I'm not going to. I can't comprehend that. I can't comprehend that. A born-again brother in Christ telling me not to pray for somebody who's destined to go into eternity who's never received Jesus. I cannot comprehend that. If you have family that if you've never told about Jesus, you need to tell them the good news. The first people when I got saved was my family. I told my family. The very first ones, the ones I love. But I'm amazed how many people I come across and they say, well, I haven't told my loved ones yet. I said, you haven't shared what Jesus has done for you? Come on. You got to do that. That's why when I lead people to Jesus, I tell them, now you go tell somebody. Go tell somebody. I know I got off onto a different direction there, but that's okay. I believe the Holy Spirit wanted me to. And he who does not change, I've said it before, confirms the same gospel in the 21st century with the same supernatural manifestations. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus ministered in the power, the signs, the wonders, and the miracles in the first century. And the Bible clearly records him empowering the early church to minister with supernatural manifestations and spiritual gifts. Well, Jesus is the same today. He's not changed. He hasn't changed. As in the early church, so today he empowers his followers to minister in the power and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 3:3, are you so foolish? having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Jesus began his church in the power of the Holy Spirit. He will bring his church to maturity and completion in the same power of the Holy Spirit, not by flesh. Not by flesh. He's going to do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. The early church was born of the Spirit and baptized in the Spirit. They ministered in the power of the Holy Ghost and manifested the supernatural gift of the Spirit. But as Paul notes above, even in the first century, they began to drift away. From living and ministering in the Spirit to living and ministering in the flesh. And that is by man's human abilities. And that's what we see a lot happening today. When the Holy Spirit is no longer allowed to function within a church because it may offend someone. And some have begun to drift away, Paul said, in ministering in the flesh. Some segments of Christianity in our day have made the same error. That is, believing that human effort, did you hear that? That human effort can successfully accomplish Christ's great commission. And we're seeing that quite a bit today, using human flesh means to try to get things done. But I tell you what, I want to trust in the Holy Ghost. To correct this error, Paul called them back to remembrance of their beginning in the Spirit. If you've drifted away from that and you think all the entertainment and all the other things that the church is doing today is the way to go, you need to get back in the Spirit. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit, amen, people? We need the Spirit of God moving through us so badly today. I need it. And that's my responsibility to be where God, where I am in seeking God's face and ask him to use my life, to let the power that is in me manifest and not to be holding back or ashamed or withholding anything that he wants me to share or help people with. I need to seek the Lord. And that's my desire, to call the church back to its beginning when the Word of God was preached and confirmed in the power of the Holy Spirit with signs and wonders and miracles and the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 8 and 12. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there shall be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I also am known. Lots there, isn't there? Lots there. See, this portion of Scripture has been used by some allegedly to prove that the gifts of the Holy Spirit ceased at some arbitrary time long ago. And I've heard that many times. In fact, these verses prove exactly the opposite. They are among the New Testament's strongest references to the continuing validity of the spiritual gifts. Will prophecy and tongues and knowledge cease or be stilled or pass away? Certainly they will. These verses clearly declare that. But the relevant question is, when and what sense? The answers are clear from the very text itself, that is, in the perfected state that occurs upon the second coming of Jesus Christ, not before. Can everybody understand me? I feel like my voice is not, you know. Verse 10 says, when that which is perfect is come. Clearly, the Apostle Paul's writing this as yet future indicates that perfection had not come in his day, some decades after Jesus' life and ministry on earth. As of today, 20 centuries later, this has still not occurred. Jesus is the perfect one. Say that with me. Jesus is the perfect one. When that which is perfect is come to us at his second coming. He's coming back. I don't know, maybe it could be the rapture too. When we see him face to face, as it says in verse 12. Wow, that's going to be an exciting time. Then when we see the perfect one face to face, tongues will cease, prophecies will fail, and knowledge will vanish away. We won't need them. Will hope go away and faith go away? When you get to heaven, will you need hope and faith? But in what sense will they cease, will they fail, and will they vanish away? And that's an important question. The answer is given in verse 12 using the specific illustration of knowledge, which verse 8 says, shall vanish away. Verse 12 shows us that knowledge as we know it now passes away, not in the sense of going from some to none, but in the sense of going from knowing in part in verse 9 to knowing fully in verse 12. This well-known portion of Scripture says nothing about the gifts of the Spirit ceasing in the sense of disappearing. The flow of thought is clearly illustrated here in verse 12 is that spiritual gifts that are partially now, tongues, prophecy, knowledge, will go not from partially to zero, but from partially to fullness. To fullness. For the entire church age, we can expect to know in part and to prophesy in part, as it says in verse 9. Then at Jesus' second coming, when that which is perfect is come, the imperfect disappears, and that which has been in part will, verse 12, be brought to fullness, not to non-existence. That's exciting. He showed in chapter 13 how those spiritual gifts would continue during the church age in their partial, incomplete state, and they would be brought to fullness at the second coming of Christ. And the apostle in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 7, 8 clearly encourages his hearers, expect to, so that you come behind in no gift unto the end, right up to the, in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is my encouragement to the church today, that these gifts that God stalked away have not passed away. Some of people believe that even back during Paul's time, that they all passed away. There's just tongues, none of it anymore. Healing, gone. But it's still here, brothers and sisters. I tell you what, we get to heaven, we don't need healing anymore, do we? We don't need the gift of healing. We don't need to be speaking in tongues when we're standing before the power of the Holy Ghost, the triune God. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand, please. Hallelujah. But I want to encourage you and I, the body of Christ, to begin like our brother Dr. Nichols here and many, many other people that are still believing and walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, that they walk out there by faith. And when I see Dr. Nichols up here preaching to all the people up there, even in Jamestown, North Dakota, he's operating in the gift of healing right here. And he's moving in the power of the Holy Spirit, and God is supernaturally moving. Praise the Lord. Yeah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's just praise the Lord for a moment here. And Lord, we thank you for your spiritual gifts, Lord. We glorify you, Heavenly Father. We praise you, Heavenly Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. With every head bowed, would the Holy Spirit be speaking to your heart and saying, I need to be more involved in getting the gospel out in my personal life? I'm not even going to ask you to put hands up on that. I'm just going to let the Holy Spirit deal with your heart, because He's the one that reads the heart.
Yes.
And has there been anybody in here you've held back because you've been embarrassed, or what if God doesn't, if I do this or whatever, and so you held back and then I allow the Holy Spirit to use your life to touch someone else's, and you haven't been walking in the gifts because you've been more fearful of walking in them than using them according to God's word. And you've missed what God wants to do, not only in your life, but in that person's life that he wanted you to minister to. Because these are gifts that are given to us from our God. And I'm not ashamed of any of those gifts. And Lord, I pray right now over our brothers and sisters in Christ in this room, including myself, Father. I pray, Lord, that you will put a Holy Spirit desire and a fire within our hearts to want to walk in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, to speak in tongues, to prophesy, to give words of knowledge, to lay hands on the sick that they may be healed. I pray, Lord, you manifest through your people here, and that you put a great fire for the year 2015 coming up, Lord, that we become more on fire. Lord, we need to draw closer to you. We need to draw closer to you in order for you to do a mighty work in our lives. We don't need more of you. You need more of us, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you will continue to do a work and speak into our hearts. And Lord, you know already anyone standing in here that they've gotten cold toward you in their walk with you. And many times they overlook miracles that could be in their life, but they overlook them because they don't care anymore. Lord, help us that when we're walking in the Target, if we're walking in Walmart, if we're in a parking lot and we see someone and the Holy Spirit says you need to go speak into their life, or you need to go tell that person that I'm a healer, that I can speak into their heart. Lord, help us to be ready to listen to you, Father, to be people of God. For Lord, your love and your grace and your mercy and your kindness, this world needs it so badly. And Lord, I pray that you, that us, your people, will begin to walk in that, Father. And we ask for forgiveness, dear God, if we have not been where we need to be and living the way we should be, instead of living like the world, Father, help us to live according to your word and walk in the powerful spiritual gifts that you've given us to walk out our spiritual life. And we thank you and we praise you. And we thank you and we praise you. Is there anybody in here that walked in here this morning that I missed, or maybe the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart, you've never given your life to Jesus, and you say to yourself, I don't know where I'd go if I die. Or you may say, well, I hope I go to heaven because I'm a really great person when you get to know me. If that's what you think, you will miss heaven, because the Bible says that our goodness is but a stench like filthy rags in his nostrils, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are none righteous, not one. So right there, you would not get to heaven if you think you've got to be good enough. And if you're in here, Jesus made it simple. He came and he died on the cross, and he shed his blood. And he said, repent of those sins that I died for, and I will forgive you of them, and come in, and I will come into your life and save you. If you're in here this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus, just simply raise up your hand and the Lord will save you. When you come to him and cry out in repentance, is there anybody? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We praise you for it, Father. And Lord, I'm personally, as the pastor of this church right now, going to say this. I thank you for supernaturally healing all these people this morning. I thank you, Lord. I don't look at the circumstances. I don't think about the circumstances. I thank you for healing them. And Lord, some are going to experience that manifestation as they walk out this day, even before they leave this building, possibly, and maybe throughout the day, maybe the week, I don't know. But Lord, I believe our prayers were coming before your ears, and Lord, your word says you not only hear our word, you answer them. It's done. And so, Father, we thank you. We praise you for that. And Lord, I pray you continue to bless each family that's represented here today. Meet their spiritual, physical, emotional needs, financial needs, every area of their life. And let us be people of God that will have a fire and a desire this week to live out our lives for you. And Lord, that we can touch someone else for Jesus this week. Let that be such a call within our spirits in the days ahead on into 2015, should you tarry. And Lord, let the year 2015 be a year that God's people will repent and come back and share the good news of Jesus Christ to a dying world and walk in the power of your word. And we praise you, we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Lord bless you. Have a blessed week. That's right. New Year's coming up here too, and a new year. Thank you for bearing with my voice. It's a beautiful voice. Thank you.